Live.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
May is Oregon Wine Month, and we've been doing a series of interviews on Friday talking about wine in the Umpqua. His first time in the studio, Christopher Hudson from Lexame in Elkton. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
So, how did you get into the wine industry?
I actually started out in a chemical engineering when I started college at Oregon State University, and when I learned what kind of jobs it actually entailed and didn't seem as cool as the name of chemical engineering, I found out I really had a long range of careers to look at, and one of the things was I was seeing that I was enjoying a glass of wine on my weekends after classes, and that was more or less a motivation to take a wine, beer, and spirits class, and I found out that this is actually a degree I could actually pursue, so I learned a lot more about it and decided to change my major, and it kind of kept me in farming the way I'd been growing up.
So did you grow up around Oregon then?
Yes, I am a seventh generation Oregonian. I have went to high school in Central Oregon, Redmond High School, and born and raised in Redmond, and after college I had started several winemaking jobs this side of Oregon and moved all around the world, and this is where I have settled with my wife, and we have created Lexame Wines.
So tell us about how you ended up in Elkton.
I was working at King Estate as a winemaker, and on my lunch breaks, I would go around and looking for different properties that would be suitable to plant grapes on. And we found ourselves looking farther and farther south as the climate is easier and better down here to farm ripe grapes, and we stumbled across our ranch.
Now, talk about the name. How'd you get the name?
Lexame is a word that is used, I guess the concise definition of it would be the root of a word. And it had a multifaceted meaning for my wife and I. She's from Switzerland, so she has, I guess, just as many generations as the inception of Switzerland, which would be 1291. And my Oregon roots being so many generations in Oregon, and I guess the analogy of putting roots in the ground with the grapes and moving ourselves down here.
So with the name, you get people like me who assume that it's something else, and then they pronounce it wrong. How often does that happen?
Occasionally, but yeah, it's not uncommon in the wine industry. We use a lot of other foreign words, and yeah, it's just hyphenated. It is this way, it is a French word.
So how many acres do you have?
We have 6 acres of vineyard in the ground currently.
So are you, is that close to Elkton then?
Yeah, we are about 5 miles south of Elkton near the Highway 138, right on the Umpqua River.
And what kind of varietals are you working on?
Currently, we have Pinot Noir, Gamay Noir. We have a little bit of Malbec, which is producing, and we have Viognier and a Swiss variety called Chasselas, which still is yet to bear fruit.
Now, we're going to get more into some of the aspects of what you're doing specifically in a little bit, but talk about this past year. One of the things I've asked the other folks over this series, I mean, every industry, every sector of business got hit hard with the whole COVID situation and how you adapt to it and deal with it and rules and all of that. How did that impact you guys?
It was a little turbulent, I guess to say, but I think the Umpqua has fared pretty well, just knowing the governor's mandates and shutdowns did kind of direct us to find other avenues to sell our wines. But since we've been able to have people in our tasting rooms again, we are not near the most populous areas, so we tend to have a lot more room and able to social distance and have events outside or tastings outside, which has definitely helped us a lot more than some of the urban wineries up north.
And being smaller, was that easier, do you think, versus somebody that, you know, you mentioned King Estate, someplace that has a lot of people to deal with?
It depends. It's kind of harder to be in the middle ground between the smaller wineries and those that require distribution. A lot of the retail wineries definitely made it through a lot better than some of the smaller ones, just being that, yeah, they were hitting the grocery store shelves and able to hit those stores that never got shut down. But for our direct sales, we had to find avenues to do a lot more shipping and make contact with our customers in other ways.
Now, I was looking at your website this morning and prior. It sounds like you and your wife, this is really a team effort.
Yeah, absolutely. She is the other half of this, and I think we complete each other on more than one aspect of this. Women are a little more finessey when it comes to making wine as well, and a little more meticulous, and she kind of calms me down instead of running through the vineyard all in a day. We'll do it in a week and make sure we do it right.
So how did you two meet?
Actually, we met right out of college, had the same internship, and we were making wine together for our first year, actually, at King Estate, had an internship there.
That's amazing, because I've met a number of other people here and elsewhere where marriages or long-term relationships actually started because they were both working in the industry.
Yeah, absolutely. Made it a lot easier to, I guess, understand each other. And during harvest time, when, yeah, one of us disappears for a month to go catch all the grapes coming into the barn, then yeah, one of us really needs to be understanding the other.
So talk about the Elkton area. A number of years ago, a new American viticultural area, an AVA, was created for Elkton because it's so different than other parts of the Umpqua. Talk about the differences.
It is a little bit closer to the coast and a little bit more marine influence, as the coastal air influence really comes up the Umpqua River there. The river takes a sharp bend, though, and a lot of the storms and the cool air don't quite come into the rest of the Umpqua Valley the same way. So yeah, we are a little cooler in some ways. The other part of it, too, is we have a longer growing season, and depending which aspect of a hill you're on, you could be quite a bit warmer as well. But the soil types are definitely different in that area. We're on a part of it which is called the Tyee outcrop, which makes our soils about 40 to 60 million years older than a lot of the other local soils.
And a lot of people would know this going through if they've lived around here for a long time, but not everybody would necessarily think about the huge difference between Elkton and parts of the Roseburg area and further south in rainfall.
Yeah, typically we do get a little bit more rainfall, but every little valley has a little bit different aspect to it by temperature, rainfall, or even just the type of soils and the soil nutrients that we're working with.
Now, for being here in the Umpqua Valley, being in Elkton, yet dealing with Pinot and the other varietals you mentioned, do you like doing it down here better than further north in the Willamette Valley?
We tend to get ripe every year here, which has made it a lot easier with our Pinot Noir, and we have the ability to grow other varieties that require a lot more temperature, a lot longer growing season, so it's made it definitely a lot more welcoming to a wine grower's environment down here.
So 6 acres, is that pretty evenly dispersed between the varietals, or do you push a little bit more of a certain one?
We tend to follow what our demand is currently, so we are, I guess, I don't have a better way to say it. We do argue or debate quite a bit on what next variety that we want to grow. We have bought grapes from other growers to experiment and see what we would like to grow into, and we'll debate whether or not we want to plant that on our site as well. And just being currently, yeah, we need a little bit more of the bigger variety, so we'll probably plant more Malbec than what we have currently, but we will see how we transpire into something else as well.
How do you describe your kind of assessment of Pinots that you're doing and that come from other folks around Elkton versus Pinot that comes from farther south or maybe even in the north?
We're kind of at a good point in the growing area. Not too cold, we're not too hot, so we do get it ripe. It's a full-bodied Pinot that we can grow around Elkton. The farther south or the too warm that you get, I think that you just really get too hot and the wine starts getting a little more skeletal. Just the acid, tannin, alcohol is about all you're going to get out of it. Up north, if you do get a cold year, then yeah, you're going to be pushing a little bit more oak or some other way to make up for those shortcomings that you had in your growing season.
Now, you mentioned Pinot Noir and Gamay Noir, right?
Correct.
So explain the difference between those two.
They are different varieties from each other. They do kind of enjoy the same climates and soils, but yeah, they definitely do have different flavor profiles. Pinot tends to be a little closer to cherry is usually the quintessential descriptor for it. We get a lot more plum sort of flavors that come out of our Gamay. We do a white Gamay, so our Blonde de Gamay Noir, and we have made a rosé out of it as well. As well as we do have a Gamay coming out for release here soon to a red table wine.
Wow. All right. More when we come back on Inside Douglas County. a wine in the Umpqua interview for Oregon Wine Month. Christopher Hudson of Lexham and Elkton interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming at 1. CBS Audio America changed forever at 4. No Inside Douglas County on Monday. We'll have the CBS Memorial Day special, one of the segments of that. And Casey Bolton of Aviva Health will be on Tuesday's Inside Douglas County, wrapping up a four-part series for Oregon Wine Month, a Wine in the Umpqua series. Talking to Christopher Hudson today of Lexham in Elkton. And talk about, I'm real curious here about the Pinot Gris bottle you brought in. I don't often see bottles quite that size.
This is actually an ice wine that we made in 2018. We harvested this at about 4 o'clock in the morning. It was 23 degrees out that morning, and it took about 70 hours to press this lot. And it is extremely labor-intensive, but it produces a nice sweet wine, which tended to be one of the favorites that I had found that you would make out of Pinot Gris.
So why is it called ice wine?
When it goes into the press, it is froze solid. As you're pressing it, the juice comes out with its maximum saturation of sugar. So normally when you harvest grapes, they're about 22 to 25% sugar. This was coming out of the press a little over 50% at first. You dilute it down as you keep pressing, and at inoculation, use your about 40 to 45% sugar.
You're clearly into the science of all of this. I mean, you talk about originally thinking you're going to be a chemical engineer. You've got the science, obviously down. Talk about the art of you know, when you're blending wines or figuring out just when to pick and things like that.
It is an aspect that when you are focusing on the artistic side of it is just you are finding a biological commodity. You are harvesting grapes. When these grapes are on the vine, you're tasting them, and you're looking for various aspects that are going to express that they are ripe. You have to have a balance of that. So with the sugar, you need a little bit of acidity left in the grapes, and when we process those, they tend to show their life a little bit longer in the barrel, and every aspect of tasting has shown little bits and pieces that you might want to manipulate or embrace, and as time goes on, you realize that, yeah, every harvest is going to be different, every barrel is going to be different, and use it as a spice rack as you're wanting to be more and more complex with barrels or lots, and sometimes even blending grapes is making red blends. There's different aspects of each grape or variety that you want to impose onto that bottle.
Now, I understand a few months ago you stepped into a new role with the Umpqua Valley Wine Growers.
I was elected as the Umpqua Valley Wine Growers President.
And talk about what the organization does.
The organization is here to promote the Umpqua Valley wine industry. We throw a few events normally every year and try to host local people to people beyond our area to embrace our wines.
And, I mean, you've got a full plate. You got a lot to do. Why get involved? Because that probably takes up a lot of extra time.
It does, but it is well worth it to be involved. When you want to spotlight yourself and your industry, then you need to step in and take part in that. And it's kind of hard to be silent, especially through all these times where we have become kind of the target of a lot of government issues right now.
And I imagine that being relatively newer to the area versus some of the folks that have been around for decades, you probably can learn a lot talking to some of the other fellow members.
Absolutely. There's a long history here in the Umpqua, obviously, and long before I ever arrived in the Umpqua. But at the same point, I have a lot of experience outside the area or outside the country. So I think I can bring a lot to the area. But yes, I still have a lot to learn and require a lot of assistance to keep this going.
So what other countries did you work in wine?
I have been in Switzerland with my wife and learned a lot from there. And probably the bigger one was working in New Zealand for a Constellation company, which I've worked at other wineries in Oregon, which are very small, too. That one was more or less I would describe as a winefactory. It was very large and huge equipment and took a lot of the romance away from actually working with small lot grapes.
So did you feel more like industrial, like you were making a, you know, a TV or a car or something?
To a certain degree, yes. Every person had a little piece of the work puzzle to put in their own basket, and we all kind of had to come together and meet in the middle to achieve a common goal. But yeah, it was very large, and both my wife and I were working together down there as well, and we learned a lot and definitely had a lot to bring back here.
So what are your thoughts about this area, how you've seen it evolve since you got here, and what you see in the future?
I saw a very small industry when I got here, and I know in the last 15 years, I've watched a lot of vineyards go in, and it has definitely improved. Our grapes have been sought after outside the area as well, and our wines are starting to get known, not just in Oregon, but nationally, if not internationally.
What kind of challenge is that when you're smaller in terms of that level of distribution outside of people just coming to the tasting room?
It's a qualitative aspect at that point, as we really try to focus on our quality and getting it out there, and trying to educate our consumers that we are still focused on quality. We have a great environment, and there's certain things that we can do better than other places.
So how is your wine distributed?
Currently, we are all direct sales, or we supply a few other places ourselves.
And I know that in the past year, that's probably been its own challenge, because you had times when you couldn't taste, and you had times when just a lot of people just simply weren't traveling that route.
Yeah, that kind of made a little bit of a difficult time there. And yeah, it seemed a little dire for a while, but we found that we were shipping a lot more wine to some of our customers that couldn't come visit us. And this has actually been kind of the push that my wife and I needed to build our own facility and put a tasting room on our property as well.
So that's got to be a big undertaking.
That is another thing that has been thrown on my list currently, and it is a huge effort, and I could not be more thankful for my wife to be taking so much effort into this as well. And it's really going to be a much better move for us, as our current tasting room in Elkton is a little smaller than what we can encompass right now with the amount of traffic that we try to do, and we needed a little bigger footprint to house as many people as that want to come visit us.
So what kind of time frame are you on for what you want to do?
We're still working with the county, but it seems to be pretty soon. Hopefully by the end of the year, we'll have everything moved into our new facility.
So building is already going now?
Not currently. We're just getting building permits going right now.
So getting all the equipment, all of that, that's not cheap, and probably, takes time away from the rest of your work.
It's a slow to acquire process. We're not going to have everything done all at once, but we'll make it through this harvest the way we normally have, and then we'll start looking for next year to process on our property, as well as being able to just open our tasting room though before that.
So beyond you and your wife, do you have any other folks involved?
Currently, mostly it's just family. We have a lot of support within the family for our project.
And when I first began to study wineries a little bit, that was one of the things back in the 80s when I was up north. You had folks that, you grab your relatives and friends every time you're going to crush your bottle or anything like that.
Yeah, my parents, fortunately, have been a huge assistance in this. They are part of our ranch, and they definitely are pretty encouraging for us to keep pursuing our dream.
Any particular varietals you want to add in at some point?
Right now, I think our biggest one is Cabernet Franc. We have been playing with that. We'll have that soon to be released as well, we're thinking. But at this point, we're just contemplating whether or not that's the best move. I know my wife and I oscillate back and forth. My wife, Monia, is probably the one that balances me out on that sometimes, and vice versa. She's gung-ho for planting it, and I'll be like, well, maybe we should just try a couple more years and see if we're actually going to get ripe enough.
So you're the more cautious one?
No, not every day. I think we both go opposite days half the time, and when we do agree finally, I think we've come to the conclusion maybe we're not going to be as liable as we think we would be.
So how much bigger do you hope you get to be down the road?
I think 20 to 25 acres of vineyard is about as much as we'd like to have in the ground. The six that we have right now is pretty good, but it gives us room to
KQEN Sports, a presentation of AmeriTitle.
And that's what happens when you press the wrong button. We're wrapping up the interview. Christopher Hudson from Lexham in Elkton. Thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Thank you.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.